Okay, you're listening Across the Border, and we're back. We're going to jump back into our text here in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 11, verse 25. Yahshua, the Master, just got done preaching one very good hellfire and brimstone sermon there. And so he stops, and he starts to pray, and he says, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry. And he began to pluck the ears of corn, and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." And now here we're getting into the law of God versus the laws of men. The rules of men. The scribes, the Pharisees, they had written a book. It was referred to in the text here as the, the tradition of the elders. There it is. The tradition of the elders. They had written rules on how to keep the Sabbath. So he walked through and he plucked the ears of grain, and they were eating them. And the Pharisees saw it, and they said, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." And so he says to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and he did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say to you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, this is powerful words when you realize who he's talking to. Because this would be considered blasphemy, because he's referring to himself, of course. The Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. You know, it's like my house, I have rules. In my own household, I have rules. And if someone says to me, "Well, you're breaking your own rule." Well, of course. That's because, you know, I'm the rule maker. I'm not bound by the rules, though I may or may not keep the rules. But that doesn't excuse anyone else. But it means that I can make the rules and I can change the rules at any time I want, because I am the rule maker. And under certain circumstances, others may break the rules of my house, depending on the circumstances, basically. But if you're just looking for something to condemn people, then you can always find something. But I wanted to jump back to something that he said here in chapter 11 and verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." And I'll tell you what, rest. You will find rest for your souls in Christ, because it is a heavy burden to walk in this world. When he said, "Take no thought for tomorrow, what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink?" You know, that's a heavy burden. That's the burden that the world lays on young men and women when they're going through the public school system and telling them they all got to get ready. they got to, you know, get the job, the career, and get the money and the house and the cars and all of these things. And then when they get it all together, then they can do that which nature calls on, even nature calls on them to do. And that is to get married and have children, you know, to be fruitful and multiply. But no, they can't even do that. They got to practice birth control and abortion while they carry this heavy burden. And you know what? He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. When we come to him, then he says, you don't have to worry about these things. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Yeah. Here, just do what I say. You know, live according to my word. You don't have to worry. You don't have to, you know, waller around out here like, you know, a ship in the ocean without a rudder, just going to and fro, not knowing where you're going to end up. That's a heavy labor, you know. And the worry, the anxiety that comes with that, not knowing how it's going to end up, having no assurance that all of the things that you're striving for are even going to happen. Because life is short, and the harder you work for them, the more fleeting they seem. It's a heavy burden, and he wants to lighten our load. It's nice to be able to seek first his kingdom and not worry about it, to do the things that please him, to be led by his Holy Spirit. There is so much peace in that. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Well, yes, you're taking on a yoke, and learn of me. See, it is a yoke. We do take it on us, because the illustration is a yoke. You know, you put the yoke on the ox or the beast of burden, and of course, we're led by him. And that yoke is easy if we follow him. It's a heavy burden. If we don't follow him, we're just taking on the yoke of the world, because we're like that ship without a rudder. We don't know how it's going to end. We don't know if we're going to get the things that we're striving for. And look at all of the atrocities and all of the wickedness that we have to commit to follow the world. We may have to steal from others. I mean, if the things that we're striving after are more important than anything else, then whatever we have to do to get those things becomes expedient. The ends justify the means in the world. But we can rest in him. Take his yoke upon us, and we follow him, and learn of me. That's what he says. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Yes, I'm working hard. I've worked harder than I've ever worked in my life, serving my Heavenly Father. But I have rest for my soul. And I don't have to worry about destroying myself, my flesh, by the things that I'm doing, or harming anyone else. Because remember, harm no one. That's a maxim. You know, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But the world causes us to harm others, to get those things, to find our way in the world, and to do it the world's way. We may have to harm someone. We may have to harm our own children before they're born by practicing birth control and abortion. And we may have to harm our own flesh by doing those very things, because we harm our own soul by partaking in that wickedness. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Truer words were never spoken. It is blessed to follow our Messiah. Yes, we have to endure till the end to be saved, but it is well worth it. Because if you don't endure till the end, yes, you're still going to suffer, perhaps suffer even worse. Yes, you may have the pleasure of sin for a season, but it will destroy you. Let's jump back into where we left off in chapter 12, where he's talking to the priests who are convicting him and his disciples of sin because they're eating on the Sabbath. Basically, that's it. Oh no, they had to they had to pick the grain off the stalks themselves and put it in their mouth. Suddenly that becomes, you know, work on the Sabbath, right? But he says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. In verse 9, and when he departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful on the Sabbath day? That they might accuse him to heal on the Sabbath days. So they had him all set up. They knew who Yahshua was, and they knew what he was doing. He was going around, and he was actually healing people. And they had a man here who had, and his hand was withered somehow. It got crushed, or however it was. You know, you've seen men with withered hands, at least most of us have, that perhaps they got caught in a machine, or perhaps they were born that way. And there's no mistake about what's going on here. This is not a fake healing like they do on the TV these days, like the fake healers do. This is the real thing. And these guys are thinking, hey, here's a guy. His hand is, this guy is truly, truly lame in his hand. And I'll bet you that Yahshua, Jesus, is going to heal him. Here he comes. Here he comes. We're ready for him. Hey, Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? And they're thinking that they might accuse him, because they say if it is, then they can accuse him of working on the Sabbath, right? And he says to them, here's his answer. What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And even in the law that it was written, if your ox falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, that you were to get it out. You couldn't just let your ox die. So it was lawful if your ox falls into a ditch. And how much better is a man than an ox? And here he draws the same illustration. How much better is a man than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. So if you can help someone on the Sabbath, if someone falls down, you pick them up. If you can heal someone's infirmity, if you can solve someone's great distress or their small distress on the Sabbath day, it is good. It is lawful, he says. And here it is. He's the King of Kings. He is the great lawgiver. And if he says it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath days, well, you know, he just gave us a little more case law here, didn't we, as to how to judge the law. That's what case law is for. It's how we judge the law. And the Old Testament is full of case law and how to judge the law. When the scripture says, thou shalt not kill, it gives us plenty of murder case law. Plenty of case law on murder, so that we know when it's, you know, manslaughter, when it's accidental, and when it's premeditated. There's plenty of case law in the Old Testament on how to judge. Thou shalt not kill. That's right. So we have case law here too. This is the book of the law. That's what it's all about. So we have it here. If your sheep falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, you're going to pull it out. How much better is a man? So it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days, whether you're pulling your ox or your sheep or a man out of a pit, or you're healing someone, or someone's car breaks down and they need a ride. It is lawful to do good if you can fix their car and get them on their way. Hey, you may have to work hard doing it on the Sabbath day. Or, you know, so we have a little case law there. So, let's get back into our instance here where they want to accuse him of breaking the law. You know, they should be going, they should be excited. Yahshua's coming. Jesus is coming, and this man's hand is withered. Hallelujah! He's going to get healed. We know he's going to do it. But no, listen to the just distortion in these men's minds. They want to accuse him of evil because they know he's going to do good. How sad. How sad is that? So he says, how much then is a man better than a sheep? wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Then says he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And the man stuck out his hand, and it was restored whole like as the other. Now listen what these wicked sinners did then. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Why, he healed a man's hand. That's right, we're going to destroy him. What? How twisted are these men's minds that they want to destroy a man for doing good? But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Well, that probably just peed them off more, you know. I mean, if they were angry, you know, if they were distraught and wanted to destroy him for killing, I mean, for healing one man's hand, just think, now he's going to heal all the multitudes. So he heals them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. You know, it's bad enough. He's got the authorities after him now for doing good. He doesn't want him, you know, spreading his fame abroad, right? But that's kind of a hard thing to keep secret. You got men dancing who never danced, talking who never talked, hearing who never heard, and seeing who never saw anything. But he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. So he said, I'm meek and I'm lowly. He's not sounding a trumpet before himself. He has no need to. He's not getting on the TV. He's not sending out, you know, people before him to trumpet his coming. No, nothing like that's going on here. In chapter 12 and verse 21, he finishes, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So we see what's happening. What's going to happen here. And then shall the nations trust. So let's, you know, I like to translate the word myself here, nations, because that's what it means. And King James, he had a, when the translators had a habit in some instances of not translating the words into the English. You know, they translated, like the word Gentiles. And in his name shall the nations trust, shall the Gentiles trust. And there's a few other words that weren't translated too, like the word heresy was not translated because it means a sect or a division. But anyway, when we get to those few instances there, you know, that's why it's nice to have the Textus Receptus before our eyes, you know, to have our e-sword here so that we can look at the original language, so we can dive into the word and see what word was translated, how it was translated throughout the scripture, so we can use the scripture to translate the scripture itself. So if you don't have this tool, e-sword.net is the website where you get it. You can find a link there on firstamendmentradio.com. I believe it's on my website, crosstheborder.org. In several places, yes, I'm sure it is there in several places, especially on the website, I mean on the Bible study pages. I know it's there because I put it there because I challenge anyone to go ahead and challenge me according to Textus Receptus, because this is the text I'm using, the authorized King James Version, plus the Greek and the Hebrew, so that we all are looking at the same thing. So, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust, or the nations trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is this not the son of David? Yes, they knew the prophecy. The son of David. This was the prophesied. The son of David. Is this not? What they were saying, is this not the Messiah? Is this not the Redeemer? Is this not the son of the promise? But when the Pharisees heard that, when they heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Oh, what twisted minds. They hated that Yahshua was getting the attention and that they weren't. They hated that he was drawing them away from their weak, mamby-pamby authority and teaching and preaching that had no effect in anyone's lives. Instead of being excited, as some of the people were, and proclaiming, he's the Messiah, he's the son of David, he is the promised seed, the redeemer of mankind. That's what that means. Oh, the Pharisees didn't want to hear that. This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Yahshua, Jesus, knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. So they're not even saying it out loud. They're just thinking it. And he's answering their thoughts. Oh, that's a scary thing. I'll bet you that sent a few shivers through their spines when he's answering their thoughts. Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And we're going to have to pick up here next time on Cross the Border. Do visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Click on that email link there and email me. I would like to hear from you.